okay, what's going on?
AudioToYou.com.
The home of quality podcasts.
Stay tuned to this channel.
Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Shelton Muller.
Hi, and welcome to episode 146 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and with me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, once again, Mr. Shelton Muller. How are you?
Hey, mate, how are you?
Very well. Or should that be Shelton Moore?
Well, Shelton Moore. That's right, Shelton Moore. That's right, I'm Irish now.
Yeah.
Anyway, Bruce, how you doing?
For those who didn't catch it, Joe McNally put on his blog that he'd been talking to Shelton Moore and Bruce Williams from Shutters Inc. But I did notice that he fixed it within about a day. So
which was very nice of him.
It was lovely.
Very nice of him. Mind you, I did give him stick on his own Facebook site
about
it. Yeah. So, you know, it was either that or I continue to persecute the guy. But, you know, we're still getting comments about that particular podcast. So
yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Really,
and while we're about it, you know, although I've said thank you to Glyn privately, I probably should just say publicly thank you to Glyn Lavender, Shelton's business partner, who was responsible for lining up Joe McNally. And getting the communication started that eventuated in Joe appearing on Shutters Inc. So huge thanks to Glyn for that. So
Glyn's one of these guys, and this is why I work with him, who gets things done. He's a big thinker and knows how to implement things.
I would go so far as to say, if you will allow me this indulgence, that Glyn Lavender is the Heidi Fleiss of photography. He has this little black book. And it's got everybody in it.
Oh, I've so got to put that on Facebook. Glyn Lavender is the Heidi Fleiss of photography. Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, he does. And the great thing about it, Glyn has a lot of contacts because he's a very talented man, but he's very personable.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Very gifted man in terms of his retail understanding, in terms of his photography, in terms of his, you know, knowledge of the industry. And from my perspective, he's just a great friend.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm very, very fortunate to be working with him. And he's the kind of guy who can get things done. Like, we're off to LA in a few days.
Yes.
By the time you get this podcast, it'll be a few days. He knows all the people over there who are to be known, Aaron Manning and David Honnell and so many others, and we're going to meet up with. And I'm really looking forward to that. But, you know, for 13 years of doing a magazine, I've never been able to get across to LA to the trade expo there. In a few months of running Creative Photo Workshops, bang, off we go to LA, And, you know, so Glyn is the kind of guy who gets things done. And I think he's just an awesome friend and a great guy. And absolutely, thanks, Glyn, for getting that podcast organized with Joe.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was wondering, Bruce, whether I should take some sort of little portable recording device and see if we can do something for Shutters Inc. while we're over there.
Well, I don't own a portable recorder. If I did, I would throw it in the mail and send it down to you.
We'll work out some.
Yeah, I mean, if you know anyone down there who's got one and who would lend it to you to take with you, then, yeah, by all means. Because, I mean, I don't know. Did you hear the episode of Shutters Inc. that I did for PMA last year where I went around? Yeah, okay. So, I mean, you know, if you had the opportunity to do something like that, that would be fantastic. But, you know, I'm not asking you to do it. But if you've got the time and the resources, I'd gladly accept the content.
See what I can do.
Our listeners would love it. So,
yeah. Well, see what I can do. We have to do something for our Creative Photo Workshops website and for Shutters Inc. and 5 Minute Photographer and all these other things while we're over there. So definitely keep you posted. Now, awesome. You had some website housekeeping you want to do.
Yes, I did want to mention just briefly, and hopefully everybody saw the blog post, or if they didn't see that, may have already discovered the fact that what has been in place for the last probably 2 or 3 years was that all three of my podcasts would appear, as in the show notes, would appear on audiotoyou.com. Now, as most people would be aware, I have for many years had individual domain names for each of the three podcasts. So buildingthepod.com, signlanguagepodcast.com and shuttersincpodcast.com. But I've not been utilizing those domain names for each specific podcast because I had everything through some back-end trickery that Phil Massane had concocted for me, had all three podcasts basically running through the one WordPress installation. And it had certain advantages for me, but it had at the same time some disadvantages for the listeners. And I came to the point of going, you know what, even though it's going to mean a little bit of extra work for me, I think it would actually be better if I split this out into three separate WordPress installations and had three totally separate websites, one for building the pod, one for sign language, one for Shutters Inc. And so that's just what I wanted to advise everyone, if you hadn't already become aware of it, that the show notes for all episodes of Shutters Inc. from here on out will not appear on audio2.com. They will be at shuttersincpodcast.com. So that's pretty much the sum total of the housekeeping that I wanted to do in that respect. He's gone to sleep.
I didn't know that you were coming to the end. That's cool. That's really good. I was just actually, while you were speaking, going through audio2.com and finding shuttersincpodcast.com. So
right.
Yep, there you go. All right, so it's all, everybody got that sorted out?
Yeah, so basically, for those who have been to audio2.com at any stage over the last 4 years, you would have noticed that down the right-hand side, there was a list of categories, and those categories covered everything I've discussed on all three podcasts. So, you know, if you're, you know, someone who listens to Shutters Inc. and you're just looking for photography-related stuff, you had to sift through all these audio-related categories. And I thought, you know, that's not helping my listeners. So
yeah,
being able to split them out into three individual sites will mean, and obviously there's more housekeeping for me to do because I've actually got to go through what is now on shuttersincpodcast.com and actually delete out all of the references to sign language and building the pod. That's going to take me a little bit of time, but once I do get it, you know, trimmed down like that, then it will only be photography related stuff. So
cool.
Yeah, that's the plan.
All right. Beautiful. Fantastic. Everybody, clear as mud? Good. Yeah. And how is your photography going? Bruce, you've been doing some Sydney meetups and things like that.
Mate, we had our first one last week, mm-hmm. and it was an absolute hoot. We had about half a dozen people turn up in the pouring rain. I was glad that, you know, we got as many people as we did because I figured that the weather might be a little bit of a deterrent.
Yeah.
It rained the entire 3 hours that we were out. In fact, that was Tuesday night last week, and it only stopped raining here in Sydney this morning, and it is now Monday night, a week later. We've had a solid week of rain.
Oh.
It has not stopped. I have no idea how much rain has fallen here in this week, but it would be a lot. So anyway, we had half a dozen people turn up, and the story that I've been telling people, because I I was just stoked, was one of the girls that I work with at the Australian Radio Network, she's in sales, and I just happened to get into a conversation with her a fortnight ago today as we're recording this.
Yeah.
And we got talking about photography. It was the first time we'd ever spoken about photography. And she said, oh, yeah, she said, I've got an SLR. She said, but I don't understand it. I'm thinking of taking it back to the store and getting my money back. And she had just...
Really?
Yeah, that's what she said. And she had only a minute prior mentioned that in March she's going to New York. And when she said she was thinking about taking it back and getting the money back, I said, look, seriously, don't do that. Next Tuesday night, I said, come and meet up with us at Parramatta. There'll be a bunch of people there. We will teach you how to use it. We will teach you what it, you know, what all the controls do and what they mean. And, you know, because I said, you're going to go to America and you're going to want to come back and be able to show people photos that you took and be proud of them.
And you want an SLR to do that with, really?
Absolutely. And so she said, oh, yeah, okay, I might do that. And I said, well, look, I'll contact you as a friend on Facebook, you know, make up as a friend on Facebook, and then I'll send you an invite on the because we had a Facebook event for it. I said, I'll send you an invite to that. So you've got all the details on where it is and when and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, she did show up, which I was really stoked about because I wasn't sure that she was actually going to come along. I thought she was sounding a little bit vague about it, but no, she did come along. And so I started explaining to her. I said, look, really, you know, in terms of getting a great photograph or at least a correctly exposed photograph, there's three things, and that's ISO, shutter speed, and aperture. And I basically went right through it in, you know, minute detail and explained the three things and how they interact together.
Yep.
And I tell you, mate, by the end of the night, she was walking on air. She was so pumped about the whole concept of photography. She was like, I cannot wait for the next one next month. She said, I'm going to be so well read by then. She said, I'm going to go and read up and blah, 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 and I'm going to practice. And she said, I'm going to start a you know, because one of the other girls who was there said, oh, you know, you should do this one day a month or one photo a day for a month project, you know, just to get you out and get you doing stuff. And so she went away just so pumped. And I see her now at work and she's like, oh, I can't wait for the next one.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah. So I was really stoked to, you know, to see her get excited about it, you know. And
what was the feeling? What was the feeling, Bruce, that you had?
Oh, for me? Yeah. Well, it was encouraging to be able to share that knowledge with someone who had no understanding of what made a great photograph. And, you know, to be able to pass that on and to see, you know, the lights go on, you know, for her. And, you know, by the end of the night, I was saying, okay, come and have a look at this photo that I'd just taken on my camera. And I said, what can you tell me about this photograph? And she says, well, you know, the water's all smooth and glassy, so it must have been a long shutter speed. And it's like, yeah, babe, you're getting it.
Mm-hmm. You get it, yeah. Isn't it awesome how some people just do?
Yeah.
You know, they, you know. So what would you say, Bruce, and this is something we've talked about often on the podcast, what would you say to photographers who had no intention or desire to share with others in terms of their knowledge?
Oh, yeah. You're missing just a fantastic opportunity. I've always been about sharing what I know. You know, I mean, it's why I started podcasting 5 years ago. So I can't imagine what it would be like to not share your knowledge, because that's just not who I am.
Yep.
But I would say, if you've thought that you need to safeguard your knowledge to prevent other people from, you know, becoming as good as you or becoming better than you, if that's your fear, then I would say it's a fairly misguided fear, because the internet provides that information for anyone that wants to go and find it. So, you know, you deciding, oh, I'm not going to teach you how to take a photo because I don't want you to be better than me, is really... I guess short-sighted in a way, because you know that person, if that person wants to learn it, there are so many avenues in which they can learn it. So
very inanimate ways, you know, books, magazines, the internet.
Yep,
but learning from a human being, and you being the human being, is worth. I don't know. You can't. Glenn and I understand that, you know, that creative photo workshops is a business.
Sure.
And we run it as a business.
Yeah.
Or he runs it as a business and I just turn up. for both of us, we have a very, you know, a strong understanding that the reward is much more than just financial. And again, we've said this often on this website, but, you know, we did a workshop on Saturday. And there was a lady there who'd come down from Coffs Harbour to be part of our workshop.
Wow.
So Coffs Harbour to Melbourne, that's a fair distance. You know, it's not a major city, so it would have taken some traveling for her to get there, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
And all through the day, you know, like the moment she started into the shoot in the afternoon, she was just very excited. The excitement was building with every image that she took, and she was learning how to meter and we deliberately put our models in very, very difficult available lighting situations so that the camera's dynamic range limitations Well, yeah, so that they would struggle with it, that they could not use their cameras on auto, that if they used their cameras on auto, everything would just muck up, and so they were compelled to take control. And that's that we deliberately do that at this particular workshop so that nothing is easy. They're not just going home with lots of pretty pictures, but they're going home working out, you know, and this is something that we brought across on the workshop on Saturday, that the camera's dynamic range limitations are actually, in many ways, an advantage. Because what you do when you're metering for highlights or metering for shadows, etc., is create an image by means of the limitations of the sensor that does not exist in real life. If you're in a situation, as we had our models, we had Sarah, our young model, on a flight of stairs at the Abbotsford Convent, and there was a very strong shaft of light coming through a window down onto this one patch of, you know, one small area on the stairs.
Yep.
And we put Sarah, you know, we found the light, we put her in it, bang, sit there, and she did. And anyone who goes onto our fan page or our Creative Photo Workshops website can actually see these photographs. And they, you know, were metering for her face as it was struck by the sunlight. Now, with a human eye, of course, we see detail in the highlights, we see detail in the shadows, and it doesn't necessarily look like anything particular other than a girl sitting on the stairs in a shaft of light. But when you meter for the highlights and you create a JPEG image in your camera according to that metering, you see something completely different because of the limitations of the camera's sensor when compared to the human eye.
And now, the limitation of the JPEG format, yeah.
And the limitation of JPEG, yes, exactly. And we're all, now I'm a fan of RAW and I shoot in RAW, but we're all about, you know, producing awesome JPEGs for the sake of the learning, you know?
Yeah.
And when when this particular lady saw the images coming up on the back of her camera, she actually just came up to us later on and said, you know, I'm jumping on the inside. And the testimonial that she put up on Facebook of our workshop was really beautiful. But that is the reward that photographers are missing out on when they are insecure about sharing their knowledge.
Right.
I think that actually I look back on my photography when I started the workshops a couple of years ago and my photography now, and I think that actually sharing, teaching in these particular circumstances has made me a better photographer. I think my work is more avant-garde now than it was 2 years ago.
Right.
And why? And it's because of the challenge of, I think, articulating that which you do. When you put it into words and you send it out there, you've actually taught yourself at the same time.
Yeah.
When you're standing there saying to someone, oh, look, when you do this, 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 and this, this, and this, and this, it happens. And you know what? When you've said it, you might not have actually ever consciously thought about it before.
Yep.
And then when you've said it, you've heard it yourself and you've gone, hey, that's really cool. I never thought of it like that before.
I have been through exactly the same thought process at the times when I've been recording the video training for lynda.com. And on occasions when I've been preparing for my Adobe e-seminars, I've had exactly the same thing where I've thought, you know, this is something I do all the time, but I've never had to put it into words, you know, and verbalize it. And just that being forced to think about it and to think about it to such a degree that you can explain it to someone who doesn't know that principle yet. Yeah. It forces you to really analyze what's going on, even though you may perform that particular function in your work on a day-to-day basis, but you just do it on autopilot because you've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I totally understand where you're coming from.
Yep. When you've spoken to someone else about it, you know, all you do is teach yourself. I mean, you teach that person too,
yeah,
which is a fabulous feeling. You actually teach yourself. And I have learned so much, forgive me for sounding egotistical, but I've learned so much from myself,
right,
in the last couple of years because I have had to put into words that which I, you know perhaps subconsciously or, you know, swimming around in that creative part of your mind. When you have to articulate it, verbalize it, you actually become a better photographer. So the fear that photographers have of other people coming along and taking their work and being better than them, I think that's fair enough. I don't personally care if I teach someone photography and they become a better photographer than me. I'm not personally threatened by that. There's millions of photographers in the world better than me, but you got to get that through your head. You're not the world's best photographer. No one is. You know, everybody's different. But I'm not going to spend the rest of my time as a photographer keeping it all inside, because I've learned the joy of helping others.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, you're going to no doubt meet up with this girl again and continue to teach her.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's no skin off your nose, is it, mate?
No, not at all.
You know?
And hey, you know, I mean, I have no problem with someone, you know, becoming a better photographer than me either, you know? I mean, let's say, you know, 10 years from now, there's, you know, somebody that I've managed to pass on some basic principles to who has become, you know, the next Joe McNally.
Yeah.
I might be able to turn around and go, hey, you know, I got that guy started.
Yep.
And just feel good that I at least, you know, got that person pointed in the right direction. I can't claim credit for anything they learned after they had, you know, passed beyond my level of expertise, but I can at least say, well, hey, I helped to point them in the direction of photography and give them their first baby steps and get them going. And then they overtook me, and that's fantastic.
Yeah. You know, and I do have that privilege.
Right.
You know, there are several people who are, you know, as a result of the workshops or my personal input, you know, living the dream, as it were.
Sure.
And I'm really, really happy about that. They've gone from, you know, working as a photographer up in Queensland, who before the workshop that I did up there was an auto mechanic.
Right.
And was dying to get out of that and become a photographer. And as a result of, you know, a weekend of workshops that we did up there, he just dropped it all and went out. And now he's very successful, like BMW's successful.
Awesome.
Photographer up there. And, you know, I mean, he's driving a better car than I am. but he's doing really well, and my hat's off to him. You know, I'm really privileged to have been a part of that. So, you know, if you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking, oh no, I'm not going to do that, or you're a little bit scared to do it or whatever, don't be, because the process of sharing, especially if you're a successful photographer, someone that, you know, could act as a mentor because you're a professional, because you have experience, because you might be in a particular place or position. If you're there, you're there for very good reason, and you know, don't keep it all to yourself.
Yeah.
And trust me, the circle comes around. You know, the wheel turns upon itself, and it comes around back to you.
Definitely.
I have a circle of very, very loving, very caring, very grateful friends, and I really appreciate that circle as a result of what I'm doing. So if you think that your only rewards are renown and money as a result of being a photographer, then think again. I think it's supposed to be, by its very nature, far greater than that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, I mean, getting back to our meetup, you know, we basically, because of the rain, we got confined to this walkway under the bridge, which sort of spans the Parramatta River. And we basically had to stay there the whole night because the rain was just bucketing down. So we just made the most of the available light that was there. There was some, you know, quite bright lighting underneath the bridge, and we just did what we could under that space. So it was a little bit limiting, but it also forces you to just say, well, okay, this is the lighting and this is what we've got to shoot. We just have to make the most of it. So.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was interesting. But we've lined up our second meetup. We made a group decision based on a suggestion of mine that we would make it the first of every month rather than a certain day. We would pick the first of the month so that it falls on a different day every month. That way, you know, if somebody can't make it on a Tuesday night, they would never be able to make it on a Tuesday night, you know. So this way, hopefully everyone will get an opportunity to attend.
Yep.
It just so happened that we had another girl at work who's just started with the company, who used to be a model. She had modeled for Ralph magazine.
I'm sorry, which magazine?
Not the sort of thing you would read.
I don't believe that. It's not the magazine anybody reads.
No, exactly. That's exactly right. Just read it for the articles, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Now, which issue was it? What year and month?
I have no idea.
Okay, can you find out for me and let me know?
So anyway, the girl that I was speaking about before, Tanya, who, you know, was going to sell her SLR, she goes and asks this other girl, Tara, would she be interested in modeling for us? And okay, Tara
Google,
says yes.
Google Ralph, Tara, Ralph and, magazine, Tara, Google. So, okay. Sorry, you were saying?
So Tanya comes back to me and she goes, oh, I've spoken to Tara. She'll be happy to model for us. And I'm like, you legend. So I went and introduced myself to Tara.
Yeah, of course. I'm sure you did.
So
yeah.
Went and said g'day. And I said, look, you know, Tanya says that she's already come and spoken to you about some modeling. She said, yeah, I have, and blah, blah, blah. And we spoke all about it. And I said, look, you know, how would you feel about doing, because I had heard on the grapevine that she wasn't interested in doing more of that style of stuff, which is fair enough. And I said, look, how would you feel about doing swimsuit? And she said, oh, that's fine. She said, I actually design and make my own swimwear. And I said, okay. I said, and of course we had discussed last Tuesday night at our first meetup that the next meetup was going to be in the city. And I thought to myself, 1st of March, probably going to be the last opportunity where we'd really want to be doing swimsuit, because come 1st of April, it's going to be getting a bit chilly.
Yeah.
So I sort of made a decision there and then. I said, look, how would you feel about doing a swimsuit shoot on the beach at sunset? She said, yep, no issues with that at all. So I then went on Google Maps and thought, okay, I've got to find a beach in Sydney. And for those who don't know their geography too well, Sydney's on the east coast of Australia. I need to find a beach that faces west. That's a big ask when you live on the east coast. But you know what? I found one. So there is this.
Considering, folks, that Sydney's on the eastern coast of Australia.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a tough one.
So I found this place called Frenchman's Bay at La Perouse. And this beach actually faces west across Botany Bay, which means that we will be able to have a sunset shoot with the sun over the water.
And you're going to do some off-camera flash stuff, no doubt?
Absolutely.
Cool.
And I'll take my reflector along, and yeah. So it's going to be a fun shoot, I reckon.
Oh, excellent.
All we've got to do is hope that the weather holds out.
Yes. And that of course, we'll all be looking for your photographs, no doubt. And, of course, purely editorial reasons.
Of course.
Of course. Now, that's fantastic. That is really good. And you're enjoying doing photography with other people, right?
I found it immensely enjoying to get out with a bunch of other people. Mm. I don't know why. Maybe this is something I just need to get over, but I just feel a little bit silly going out on my own to do just creative stuff. You just kind of feel like, yeah, what am I doing, you know? Where once you're out with a bunch of other people, you because you have that common interest, it just, I don't know, maybe it's just one of those things where the vibe, you know, you feed off each other in that sense, you know. That
absolutely, you know, you inspire one another too.
Exactly, you know, when one person gets a killer shot and you're all like, wow, yeah, awesome, I can see that, you know. And
yeah,
it does drive you along. So yeah, so really looking forward to getting together every month.
Now, you're a landscape shooter, really. I mean, I'm not trying to put you into a pigeonhole.
Yep.
But you love your landscapes.
That is my love. Yeah.
Yep, that's what you love doing. I was having a discussion with a good friend of mine up in Brisbane, Michelle. Hello, Michelle. How are you? Whose husband is going to see Ace Frehley in concert tonight.
Oh, okay.
Yep. She was saying, you know, we were talking about diversity and the benefits of diversity for photographers. Now, you have, you know, come out of your landscape mode to do these meetups in the middle of Sydney, of course, and the next one you're going to do is with Tara from Ralph magazine. Now that's not a landscape, you know.
It's a landscape with added attractions.
Yes. Okay. It's like a thousand lines.
It's a landscape with bling.
Yeah, with bling. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Yes, that's a rather lovely landscape you've got there, Tara. Oh. Yes, Bond. James Bond. Now, you're venturing into arenas of photography that I suppose wouldn't normally, you know, float your boat, you know, as it were.
Well, as I said to you, you know, privately a couple of months ago when I decided to make this, you know, transition career-wise from audio to photography, I didn't expect it to happen overnight.
No. And it, you know, doesn't.
And B, I think I was pretty upfront with you in saying that at this point, I don't know what kind of photography I want to make a career of. So I'm quite happy to try a bit of everything.
Yeah.
And work out what is it that really gets me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it might be that I find something other than landscape stuff that I just really enjoy even more.
Yeah.
You know, but until I go and try them, I won't know.
Ah.
So I'm open to.
That's the point.
So I'm open to, you know, interpretation.
Yes. Yes. And that's that. You've hit the nail on the head from my perspective.
Okay.
That unless you try them, you won't know.
Right.
You know, as a photographer, as someone who's been taking pictures since he was, 15 or 16 years old, and that's a long time. You know, I turned 47 in April, so that's a long time. I have found that my years of, I suppose having to shoot everything just in order to eat, especially the early years, the first 20 years, sort of like that actually, but the diversity that I was, I suppose, compelled to undertake in terms of what I had to photograph was a serious advantage, you know, because you start out thinking, you look at photographs of beautiful landscapes and you naturally want to do those, so you head out into that. I honestly, you know, I loved landscape when I was younger, but only because I suppose I didn't really think that of doing much else. And when I was about 18, my father and I went on a road trip through the Rocky Mountains in Canada, and I, you know, loved doing all the landscape there and the wildlife, etc., etc. Then when I was in my early mid-20s, I started working at a photography studio that was a wedding portrait studio. And I learned how to photograph weddings and photograph portraits, and, you know, I really enjoyed that. And I have, you know, then, of course, stepping out on my own, I had to photograph everything from, you know, car parts to soap bottles to, to people to weddings. I had to do anything. They would... You know, a client would recommend me to somebody else, and so you had this diverse bunch of clients that all just happen, and they all have different reasons for wanting you as their photographer, and you have to learn to shoot everything. But I must admit that as a result of that, now I can pretty much almost shoot anything. Ask me to photograph a landscape, I can do a pretty good job. And, you know, ask me to photograph a person, and I can do a pretty good job. Ask me to photograph a soap bottle, and I can do a pretty good job. I really love that. I must admit, I would not want to spend my life photographing soap bottles, but I must admit, I wouldn't want to spend my life photographing weddings either.
Right.
Or even swimsuit models or, you know, landscapes. I love the fact that, you know, I do a lot of different things, and I really believe
diversity.
The broad spectrum, the diversity of photography that I do. Every single one of those arenas of photography into which I enter will assist me and make me a better photographer in other completely disconnected arenas. You know, when you are a landscape photographer, you learn a lot about early morning and late afternoon light, and a lot about formulaic composition and that kind of thing. And that can only help you in terms of, still life, commercial, even people photography and location work. You know, you'd think that they are so disconnected in terms of what you need to bring in order to make these images happen. But the principles that intersect between these arenas of photography are, inextricable, and they cross over, you know, into each other beautifully. So you know, and this is something that Michelle and I were talking about. She was a macro photographer, you know, literally photographing the bee's knees.
Yep.
And she came on a portrait and wedding workshop with us when we were up in Brisbane and just really expanded her vision because, you know, this was A, people photography, and B, we were doing everything from available light to off-camera flash and, you know, posing techniques and all that kind of thing. And it really broadened her outlook, and she's now doing things that, you know, she wouldn't have thought that she would do. And I'm really, really glad of that. But it keeps you alive. I really believe that it keeps you alive. I don't know how photographers can keep doing the same thing over and over again and not diversify, you know, because I couldn't do it. I think it would drive me crazy. I think you'd have to have a real serious passion for this one thing. In order to keep doing it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe...
Over and over and over again.
Maybe that's the boat I've been in for the last 20-plus years, because I've pretty much done that in the world of audio, where I have only worked in radio, and it's been pretty much either commercial production or station imaging. Now, you could argue that they're two slightly different disciplines, but essentially it is still pre-recorded mixing of voice track and music and... Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of stuff. And I've pretty much done the same kind of thing for, you know, over 20 years at the exclusion of doing live sound or, you know, any other types of things like location recording or, you know, movie audio or anything like that. So maybe I'm exactly what you're just discussing, you know, it must have been super passionate to have stuck with this arena of audio for so long. But yeah, even now I've got to the point where I'm going, yeah, you know what, time for a change.
In audio,
which is what has prompted the move towards photography.
Right.
It's not that I don't enjoy audio anymore. I still do. I still love it, you know, and I particularly still love putting together these podcasts, and I, you know, still love recording music with Dave.
Yeah.
Even though we don't find a hell of a lot of time to do it these days. But, you know, I'm starting to feel that after, you know, 24th year in radio, that it's time for me to, you know, to look to do something else. Because I got to a point where I thought, you know what, I've just passed 40. I've got another 20 years before I retire. Yeah. I don't know that I want to keep doing this for another 20 years.
No. And if you did, your work would probably suffer,
yeah. Because you just get into a rut.
Yes.
And it'd be audio by numbers.
Mm-hmm. And that happens with photographers.
Oh, I can understand that totally.
You know, you can see it happen. And that's why I've watched the careers of, in Australia, your Van Zanzanian. And his whole approach to photography, I believe, has really changed over the last couple of years. Or right. His approach to post-processing, particularly.
Yep.
And many other photographers, you know, my approach has changed. And I'm really glad of it. I would suggest to anyone, if there's a particular arena of photography you don't particularly like, or you're not drawn to, or maybe even a little bit scared of, that's the very thing that you should go out and try.
Really?
What
if it's an area of photography that you just go, nah, I really have no interest in being involved in that particular area?
You got a particular one in mind?
Yes, I do.
Yeah?
Yeah, maternity.
Okay.
That just does not interest me. Do not want to go there. Just not my thing.
No, fair enough. I would suggest that you would just do it once.
Okay.
Just do it once, and it will teach you why you like it, or why you don't like it.
Okay.
Or why there's perhaps maybe something to like in it.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
Do it your own way.
Okay.
I would, anything, you know, and you don't have to do it all the time, but do it at least once, I would suggest.
Okay.
And you will learn from that. You will learn from that process. You may never want to do it ever again, but I think, you know, and you probably wouldn't. I'm not big on maternity and babies anyway. I'm really with W.C. Fields on the whole thing about, you know, children and animals. I really am.
Yeah.
One of my, you know, a good friend, Natalie DiPietta.
Yeah,
she, you know Natalie.
Yep, absolutely.
Lovely lady. Hi, who Nat. Was with us at Echuca. Hello, Nat. She was at the workshop on Saturday, and we went out to dinner afterwards and had a lovely evening.
And her whole business is based on that.
Bellysandbabies.com.au. Yep. Yeah. And she loves it.
Yep.
Absolutely loves it. However, you know, she's diversifying and well, I've suggested that she do so. And, you know, I've suggested that she even move into, you know, considering doing weddings and that kind of thing.
Right.
Although her argument is that she makes, you know, she can actually do better financially, you know, in the studio on a Saturday than shooting a wedding. But I still reckon she should shoot just one.
Right.
And you know, maybe if it's a friend who hasn't got much money and she does it as a love job or whatever. But I don't think there's any harm. In fact, there's only, to be honest with you, there's only ever going to be benefit in doing something like that. And I can't think of anything that I haven't shot. So I'm not, you know, this is one area in which I can actually speak on this podcast and not be a hypocrite. Because I have done maternity and I have done children and I have done pets and I have done, you know, every conceivable kind of thing. I've had to.
Yeah.
To pay the mortgage and to feed the family. I've had to. And now I suppose I can be a little bit more choosy because, you know, I'm running a workshops business along with, His Holiness Glyn Lavender. And
the Heidi Fleiss of photography.
Yeah, the Heidi Fleiss of photography. And we're, you know, like we are discussing the workshop that we're going to be running on Wednesday night. And we're just coming up with these things. Oh, this would be awesome. Let's get this. Oh, this would be awesome. Let's get this. And it's what we want and what we think would be awesome. Everybody else, trust me, is going to think it's awesome too. We're getting fire twirlers down there and it's going to be really cool. But, you know, we're able to sort of cater for ourselves a little bit in some cases. I choose the models for the workshops, so that's really good. But, you know, I'm really enjoying that. But I have photographed pretty much everything and have always learned from it. Now, either I've learned why I hate it or I've learned that, oh, this is actually a lot more fun than I thought it would be. Or, hey, I can do this. I can actually do this really well.
Yeah.
I didn't think that I would. And some of it, I mean, I don't do a lot of still life and I don't do a lot of landscape, but I, you know, if I'm in a landscape, I'll definitely shoot it and love it, but I don't set out, you know, I don't head out on a weekend, you know, up the country to do some landscape photography. But I would suggest to anyone out there, diversify, simply because, you might always go back to the same thing you always do. But if you're a landscape photographer and you went and shot a pregnant lady, you're going to learn something from that. But trust me, you will take into your landscape. You absolutely will.
That's an interesting concept.
Yeah, well, it's just core principles of photography that sometimes strike you in a moment of epiphany that you go, wow, that would apply to both this and this. Or the principles that you've learned in landscape, you know, in terms of shape, form, texture, light, direction, quality of light, the availability of light, etc., composition, perspective, lens perspective, all those things that you learn in landscape photography, you will take across to the maternity shoot.
Right.
When you've got a rounded woman, you know, with, you know, skin and breasts and belly and, you know, seriously, you go, well, I'm going to know. I know how I'd, if that was a rock in a landscape, I know where I'd want the light.
It's just more mountains, for God's sake.
That's right. You know, it's three rocks instead of one, you know. I just think that it's worth doing. Just set the time aside to do something you really don't want to do.
Okay.
And do it. And trust me, it will benefit you. You may never return to it, but it will benefit you.
No, I can see the sense in what you're saying about, you know, you do stand at least the opportunity to potentially find something to like in that arena that you decided you didn't want to be a part of.
Yes.
So, yeah, okay. All right. Well, when the opportunity presents itself, I will take it.
And for the professional, it's good because you can say, yes, I've done that.
Yeah.
Anybody ever ask you to do that or have you done that?
Yeah.
Could you shoot something? Oh, yes, I've done that before.
Yeah.
I have shot this before. It's good to say that.
Yes.
You know, there are some professionals who specialize and they say, look, you know, there are some photographers who they're jack of all trades and, you know, but I specialize. But there's the reverse of that. where, you know, you say, look, you know, I understand photography. I've done it all and I'm happy to do whatever you ask. So, you know, if you're looking, which you certainly are, to becoming, you know, or earning a living from photography at some stage, it's great to be able to say, yep, I've done that, I've done that, I've done that, yeah. No worries. And get your hand in as much as possible. So, Bruce, if you know anybody who's pregnant, go out and photograph them.
Well, I do have a work colleague who's just announced that she's pregnant, so yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Have a word with her.
Uh-huh. We're going to be looking out for the photos, you know, in a few months' time as she starts to round and out. Yep.
Well, that'll depend on whether she's happy to have any photographs taken and or have them published. I will certainly pursue that.
Yeah. Well, you're doing that really with, you know, this model and the west-facing beach and all that kind of thing. I mean, you understand the west-facing beach because of your landscape experience.
Absolutely.
So it's already segued into this other shoot.
Yep.
Hasn't it?
Yep. That's true.
And you'll, you know, and you'll take one back into the other, as you really will.
Interesting.
The more rounded out your photographic experience is, the more brilliant a photographer you're going to become. It just, you just can't help it. I know, you know, a good friend of mine is a landscape photographer, and he does landscape workshops, and he's just beautiful. You stand side by side with him, you go tripod to tripod with him in a landscape. His is always going to be better than yours.
Right.
He just, you know, it doesn't matter. His image is always going to be better than yours. And I think I can shoot a pretty mean landscape.
Yep.
I was looking at what I submitted to Prince for Haiti.
Right.
And that, if you're interested in looking at that, that's princeforhaiti.com, which is a charity that's being put together by Gabe Kano in America to sell prints and raise money for Haiti. And I was honored and privileged to have been asked to submit images for that. And I look at the images that I submitted to that, and I really think they're quite wonderful landscapes. But it's not what I do. But I can do it. You know,
yeah.
And I think, but the problem with as I was saying, this other photographer, who's a good friend of mine, is that you ask him to photograph a person, and he doesn't like it, and he's not that good at it. Now, I think that is exactly then what he should go out and do, and he should do it and do it and do it until he starts getting it right. And still, when he comes back with a portrait that he or a location context sort of people picture of some kind that he can go, yeah, that is fantastic. That is when he's really starting to, you know, broaden out, and it can only benefit. But while he stays in that one arena and he loves that arena and he's damn good at it, that to me is an issue. Now, you'd remember this, of course, when we talked to Joe McNally the other night.
Yep.
Well, a few weeks back. He had just been told us that he was on a Jay Mazel workshop.
That's
remember
right.
That?
Yeah, that's right.
Now, Jay Mazel and Joe McNally, their photography styles are worlds apart.
Okay.
They are worlds apart. And yet Joe, who is an expert at what he does, his work, as you know, is, mm-hmm. you know, brilliant.
Phenomenal.
That man can light anything.
Yeah.
But he went and he did a Jay Mazel workshop. Now, Jay Mazel's all into street photography and natural light and all that. So for Joe, it would have been a real challenge not to pull out the strobes and the pocket wizards and light it up the way he wants it, but rather to settle for the way that it is lit. But I'll tell you what, Joe would have come away from that. And we're talking Joe McNally here.
Mm-hmm.
He would have come away from that having seriously learned something that he can and will take across into future shoots.
Yeah.
Bound to happen.
But you see, it was interesting also that he was saying about, you know, the criticism of his books was that, everything's lit up with 100 strobes, and yet he went back and looked through the images, and what did he say? That something like 60% of the images were actually natural light.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, or just one or two strobes.
Yeah.
You know, there weren't that many. There's a picture of a jet that he's, you know, he's lit up with, like, you know, 47 strobes or something like that.
Because he's good.
he is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, he has, look, to be honest with you, he has a lot of time to set these things up, you know, and he's paid to do it. And that's fair enough. I think of Steve McCurry, too, whose work is fantastic. He's the one, of course, who's responsible for the Afghan girl image. But, you know, you put a lot of photographers into these situations, and they're going to get, and you give them the time, the budget, the complete unlimited opportunity. And so many, you know, there'd be many photographers who would get these kinds of images. And this is not to say that, you know, Joe isn't brilliant, because he is. He's absolutely brilliant and has done things that I wouldn't have known how to do, quite frankly, you know.
Right.
I just think it's you know, it's a mixture of brilliance and opportunity. But I'm really proud of the fact that Joe went and stepped aside, stepped out of his comfort zone,
yeah.
stepped away from it all, and took and went back to, you know, available light. I think that's absolutely fantastic. My understanding of available light and what it does helps me every time I use an off-camera flash. My understanding of off-camera flash and what it does helps me every time I set up for an available light photograph.
Right.
You know, so. Yep. If you don't like it, go out and do it, and then, you know, do it a little bit until you actually get a picture that you really like, and then say, okay, I've done it, I gave it my best shot. And it gives you a chance to do one of two things: fall in love with another area of photography, which keeps your passion alive, or
yes.
say, no, I've done that and I don't like it, and that's why I love doing this so much. Either way, you're going to keep your photography alive and it will never die. And photography is the best hobby in the world.
And I suppose if you do find that, you know, that area of photography you thought you absolutely hated, that there is something to be gained from it, then, you know, and you find yourself with a natural talent for it, then mm-hmm. it potentially becomes another income stream.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which, if you know, and it could have been something you'd turned your back on.
Yep. And if I had never learned, if I had never, you know, gone out with Jacques, who taught me how to do wedding photography, which was something I never thought I would do, I can tell you now that it would be hundreds of thousands of dollars that I wouldn't have earned.
Yeah, right.
You know, and that's, you think about that. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I don't know where it's all gone, but, you know, it's a lot of money. So I'm glad I did. I'm glad I broke that barrier and went and did it, because I've learned, A, I shoot a mean wedding, and I say that all humility aside
sure.
and all ego aside. It's just I do. I shoot a mean wedding. I love doing it. I really enjoy the honor, the privilege, and the fun of shooting a wedding. And, you know, it's helped me through some pretty difficult situations. Earning a sudden, a sudden injection of a few thousand dollars on a weekend is really cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I did that, but I've also sold landscape photographs and been asked to travel and do, you know, workshops in Patagonia. Now, if I couldn't shoot a landscape, I would never have gone to Patagonia and had this amazing adventure.
No.
You know, been asked to take that tour. But, you know, when I was asked to lead that photo tour, it was because someone had seen my landscape work and said, oh yeah, you can do this. And it was the hardest workshop I've ever led. The hardest. It was grueling. But it was, it was awesome. It was just mind blowing. Now, if I'd never diversified, like you say, I wouldn't have had that income stream either.
Yeah.
The diversity of the photography that I do means that I can lead a photo tour into a place like Patagonia, and I can come out of Patagonia, take you into a marketplace and do that, and then take you to the Taj Mahal and do that. And then while we're there, let's get a model and we'll set up an off-camera flash and we'll do that as well.
Yeah. And then we'll wander through the markets and do some street photography.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So diversify, diversify, diversify. Even if it goes against your grain. Oh, don't like that. Do it anyway. In fact, more reason. Do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. You know? So, Bruce, I'm looking forward to seeing your Ralph model pictures in a few weeks' time.
No worries, mate.
I'm being philanthropic here.
Of course,
I'm not. You know, I'm actually just concerned about you and seeing your work expand. If I don't see the pictures, I'll kill you.
Now, one other thing I do want to mention before we wrap up, or actually a couple of things, but one of them was Burke McGowan, who is a member of 5MP and a long-term listener to Shutters Inc.,
mm-hmm.
buzzed me a couple of weeks ago on Facebook, and he said, mate, are you interested in a couple of double passes to the Ultimate Bridal event at the Sydney Entertainment Centre? And I went, yeah, absolutely. And so he said, give me your snail mail address and I'll drop them in the mail to you. So I said, oh, okay, thanks, mate. So he sent me three double passes, and, yeah, so I I got back to him and I said, how did you end up with these passes? How is it that you're able to send me these passes that you don't need? And he said, oh, my significant other, girlfriend, wife, I'm not sure what Kylie's relationship is to Burke, she runs a business and she had exhibited at the Ultimate Bridal event in Melbourne, which had been held in January. And he said, so she got these passes to give away. He said, so I thought I'd offer them to you. And I said, oh, thanks, mate. So if anyone's looking for a florist in Melbourne, Burke's girlfriend, significant other, whatever Kylie is, runs a website called eventsinflower.com.au. So thank you, Kylie. She probably won't hear this unless Burke plays it to her. But
which I don't think he will after the description of, well, I don't know what she is, but, you know, anyway.
Maybe not. So anyway, yeah, but thank you very much, Kylie, for the tickets. It was much appreciated. So, and I got an email from Dan Vincent, who was basically just responding to the conversation that you and I were having either last episode or the episode before about the various lenses that I've got for my Konica Minolta 7D and my Alpha 850.
Yeah.
And he said the A850 and the A900, for that matter, will automatically crop DT lenses like the 18-70, the 18-200, etc., when you attach them. The APS-C mode in the menu is a manual option to use crop mode on full-frame lenses or for third-party APS lenses, which may not automatically select crop mode.
Uh-huh.
The 75-300 you have is a full-frame lens and thusly will not crop. Unfortunately, you can't turn the automatic APS mode off for those DT lenses that automatically set it, which would be the Sony and Minolta official DT lenses.
Yeah.
So, so I thought that was interesting. So, thank you, Dan. I appreciate the input. It's great.
Well, with the amount of megapixels you got going on in that sensor, it probably could crop and you'd still be just fine, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of megapixels, this reminds me of something. If nobody has seen it, you need to just do a Google search. Not that you'll need to, because I'll put a link in the show notes for a thing called Gigapixel Dresden. Have you seen this, Shelton?
No, I haven't.
Oh, dude, you've got to go and have a look. Just type it into Google.
Yep.
Gigapixel Dresden.
Dresden being the German city?
Yes. This thing is amazing. It is a multi-image panorama unlike any other. It is 1,665 21 megapixel images stitched together.
Oh, good heavens.
And it is something like 297,000 pixels wide and, you know, like 100,000 pixels high. And you can zoom in to levels that are just beyond belief.
Oh,
cars that you cannot even see when you're looking at the entire image, you can zoom in and read the number plates on.
Uh-oh.
It is scary. So I'll put a link in the show notes. If you haven't seen it, it is just mind-boggling.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Wow. All right.
Something fun to end on.
All right. Fair enough. I also just wanted to say, just for a bit of fun, head down to creativephotoworkshops.com.au. Mm-hmm. Our good friend David Oakley has just uploaded another video from the workshop we did on the weekend, but there's a few there now. Some fun little videos of our workshops, complete with images and video outtakes and things like that. So,
excellent.
We've just got a new one up on the creativephotoworkshops.com.au site.
Okay.
So, look, just for a bit of fun, head down there and have a look.
Awesome. All right, mate. Well, thank you once again.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Nice to get another podcast out, mate.
Now, when do you fly out?
On the 18th of February. 18th. Head for the States. Yep.
Cool.
So let's see if we can do another one before then, eh?
Sure. All right, we'll aim for early next week so that not too close to your departure day.
Fair enough.
And, yeah, that'd be good.
All right, cool.
Beautiful. All right,
Thanks, mate.
All right, well, we'll aim to talk to you next week.
I'll let you get back to your family and other things.
They're all asleep.
I might go and have a... Oh, good thinking. All right.
All right, we'll talk with you next week.
You bet, mate. See you soon.
See ya.
This has been another AudioToYou.com podcast. For previous episodes, check out
ShuttersIncPodcast.com.
Please send questions, comments, or feedback to studio@audiotu.com.